PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Joey, we have something here for our special visitors. Would you like to have it?
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Sure. You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Do you want me to check the weather, Clarence?
No, why don't you take care of it? Joey, do you ever hang around the gymnasium?
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Such shows contribute to a social climate of violence and sexual malaise.
In order to survive, we have to give people something they can't get anywhere else.
We live in overstimulated times. We crave stimulation for its own sake. We gorge ourselves on it. We always want more, whether it's tactile, emotional, or sexual.
Soon, all of us will have special names. Names designed to cause the cathode ray tube to resonate.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Whoa, snap, guys. Welcome to episode 264 of Cinema Crespediso. That's right. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, show in the Crespediso studio. It is Pro Bowl weekend here in Orlando. So exciting? Question mark? The commercials on TV tell me to be excited.
Do you give a shit about sports?
I care about the traffic around town. That's getting thick.
Oh, that's gonna get thick.
That got thick.
Not exciting for you at all, then.
Also, shout out to...
In fact, not only not exciting, but inconvenient.
Not only exciting, but inconvenient. The essence of Cinema Crespediso. Shout out to the Nora Zeal Hurston Festival in Meadville. Also fucking shit up. Hey, but you know what? Zora's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's a give and take. Can't make an omelet without murdering some farmers. Ladies and gentlemen, with me as always is Mr. Chicago and Drew.
Let's murder some farmers, Chris.
Our current threat level, Drew, is green. Current threat level is green.
Farmer murder green.
Farmer murder green. Don't be a Thomas Edison. We have a returning guest from Poking the Bear. I've been saying it's Poking the Bear month. First we had Big Tim, then we had Charlie Boo. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Ryan Holmes is here. How's it going, Ryan?
Yo, you're scrapping the bottom of the barrel with the Poking the Bear crew. I like it.
We're just going through in alphabetical order, man. Big Tim, Charlie Murphy, Ryan Holmes.
Are you Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy!
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy was amazing.
Yeah, man. We raised him. We used necromancy to raise him from the dead.
Yeah, we read from the Necronomicon, and we read the right words, and he was here. We did lose that episode, though. I recorded it, and then it got deleted,
and also, unfortunately, Chris lost his soul. See, I lost mine previously, so they couldn't take mine. They had to take Chris's by default.
Drew often uses his soul as a bargaining chip without telling people ahead of time. Caveat emptor. Soul has been pre-sold for stock options.
So long ago.
It's like the Homer Simpson donut, bro. If you don't eat the whole thing, no deal. You get to keep your soul the whole time.
Exactly. It's all about the loopholes, man. You gotta find the loopholes.
Well, in that case, I still own my soul because I've only partitioned it off into pieces.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, you sold stock.
I have
stockholders.
I am no longer a primary shareholder in my soul.
Yeah, so you have no say in what's going on with soul. The problem is that soul's worth nothing. It is depleted of all of its intrinsic value. Offer of deals.
Yeah, Soulcoin's not doing real well.
No, no, it is not.
Despite the other cryptocurrency uprising, Drew Soulcoin remains at a minimal value. Drew
the bottom of that barrel.
Drew Coin. Yeah. What was that? That Dogecoin? Dogecoin?
The dog coin?
The dog coin.
Yeah.
How do you say it, though? D-O-G? Doge, right? Dogecoin?
It wasn't real. It's hilarious.
It wasn't real,
but it was real
until it was, and then it was worth like $2 billion. Its market value $2 billion.
They made it real, and it wasn't even.
And then
real.
The guy who created it was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah,
the power of dumb people on the internet.
It
just,
is
like I love a good internet groupthink, though.
Me too.
You know, like,
yeah.
There's one meme that I find way too funny. It's far too racist for me to think it's funny, but it's the Uganda Knuckles one. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Let's
check this out.
Drew, pull up.
Uganda Knuckles.
I should bring this up.
Too late.
It's okay. So there's a game on Steam called VR Chat.
Okay.
So basically, you throw on a VR headset, you make your own little avatar, but there's this land in VR Chat called Uganda.
Okay.
And it's just all people that talk like this, and all they do is like thousands of them will follow you around and go, "Do you know the way? I know the way.
Really?
Follow me for the way, my queen. Do you know the way? Do you know the way?" And then all of them all at once will just start going.
Oh no.
But the thing about it is, it's based off a Ugandan movie.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm sure.
And okay. The director of this Ugandan movie thinks it's so funny. But a lot of people are like, this is racist. And it is. It 100% is. But when you watch a bunch of people with this group think all just coming together, like just following people in a VR chat going, do you know the way? I know the way. Where is the commander? Well, I remember you. You were at the wedding of the commander.
That is so weird. Someone designed that to be that way, but then people are actually doing that?
Yeah. It's the biggest meme of 2018. Like, it's insane.
Ugandan Knuckles?
Ugandan Knuckles.
It's just a picture of Knuckles, and
it's like
doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like, yeah, it is.
So it's based on a movie, though.
Them talking is based on the movie, but this picture, it's pictures of Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, like, Knuckles!
Yeah.
I'm thinking actual Knuckles, like Knuckle Fist.
No, but it's like a dumb version of it. Like, okay. The eyes are all weird and he's short and stout.
Yeah, it's Bobo Knuckles.
Yeah.
It's Ugandan Bobo Knuckles. Yeah. I can totally see that happening.
Do you know the way?
Do you know the way?
Where is Uganda in Africa? Where is it exactly? Northern?
You want me to show you the way?
Yeah, please. Let someone show me the way to Uganda. God damn it, Brian.
In the game, you take a portal. Which you open with your... VR is awesome. I don't know. Are you a VR fan?
I have not even experienced modern VR.
That is the next thing, man. Like, they're... Like, it sucked, like, a year ago, and it's just getting better and better. I love VR
that quickly?
Shit.
Really? Yeah. Within the last
there
year?
There is Uganda.
Uganda is... So, it's central...
It's on the north side of Lake Victoria.
Looks like it's east central.
Yeah.
Right by Lake Victoria.
It's the north side of Lake Victoria.
So, it's
that
deep.
Is the way.
That is the way deep into Africa.
Oh, yeah. It is the deepest of deeps.
I'm actually curious now, because we just did spoilers for The Devil's in the Details. New episode coming out, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. We did two episodes of African history, African and then African-American history. So that Africa episode is not like the whole thing on Ethiopia. Well, where is Ethiopia? You got to pull it up. Like, I don't know where Ethiopia is.
But
when you find out the actual history of Ethiopia, Drew, did you know Ethiopia is the only African country to resist European conquer?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
There's also...
Ryan, did you know that?
I did not
know. Okay, I didn't know that.
There's also a group of silly assholes that think the lost tribe of Jews are in Ethiopia.
Yeah,
and that the Ark of the Covenant's over there.
Yeah.
We actually talk about that. You can still go to that temple. No one's been in there for thousands of years.
Yeah.
They won't let you in.
Nobody will let you inside.
It's fascinating.
They're like, it's in there.
It's in there, but no one...
Because it's fake.
We're not going to let you see it.
Because one guy...
Or is it?
No.
You're not allowed in!
This is the devil's in the details for... Yes, to find out the details about how that happened. It's so funny.
It's hilarious. It's
hysterical. I know a weird amount of African stuff just because as I drive home late at night from all the gigs that I do, I listen to NPR and it's always BBC Africa.
Like, oh, awesome.
It's interesting, but I guess it doesn't affect my life at all, but I enjoy listening to
Africa's
it.
Africa's gigantic and so many different cultures and such a crazy history.
And we have been exploiting its riches since the dawn of man.
They've been exploiting their own riches too for a long time.
Yeah, but we've
so
been
many riches.
Too. Yeah, yeah. There's so the entire continent is just filled with gold.
It's a very exploitable land. It is poor Africa, but also rich Africa. Oh, poor Africa, rich Africa. Very famous book written in the 90s about how to attain wealth. Right? Remember that one?
Sure.
No. Welcome to Three White Dudes Talking About Africa.
Hey, two white dudes.
Two white dudes
and
a Puerto Rican.
He's a Puerto Rican. I am lighter skinned, but I mean, come on.
Close.
I mean,
you probably speak more Spanish than he does, but it's okay. He's full blooded Puerto Rican.
So, claro que sí.
Well, I'm the worst. I'm fucking Danish.
That is quite white.
And the people who basically exploited Africa, the worst.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Boers.
Yeah.
The Boers.
Yeah.
Where do you think Europe got all of its gold from?
Drew, on a scale of whiteness, English versus Danish, what's whiter? I would say English is whiter.
English? Oh, okay, here's the thing. You see,
it's wet and grimy and gray.
The thing with the English is, though, they had the empire, so they spread out throughout the world, muddling their white blood, as opposed to the Danish, who are, they're just Aryan as fuck.
So you're saying you got a little bit of more in you to explain your dark hair, to explain why people walk up to you talking Spanish.
More Indian, Spanish, I mean, you name it.
This guy is white as white can be. I've seen people walk up to him and start talking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ever done it like an Ancestry.com?
I'm going to do it soon.
My mom did. So I got, and my dad is pretty like, he's just like straightforward Puerto Rican. My mom got it done. She's like half Iberian Peninsula, Spain, Portugal. Then the other half is Puerto Rican, which itself splits up into Native Indian or Native Puerto Rican, right? Yeah. We're just Taino. Mm-hmm. African, which I think for her is Nigerian. I think we figured it out.
Slaves.
And then, slaves. And then, what's the other one? European Spanish. So mm-hmm. it's all.
Slave masters.
It's all slave trade. I'm just all slave trade. Oh, 5% Jewish, which I'm like, yes. Oh. All right. A little bit of God's chosen people. That's
got cool. A little bit of that chosen blood.
A little bit of that chosen blood. Oh, thank God.
Fun fact,
though, I thought I was going to be left out.
About doing Ancestry.com. Yeah. Your DNA, the government can just subpoena for it anytime.
It's not
protected as a medical issue.
Oh, whatever. Those motherfuckers got so many of my fingerprints.
Well, he's already on the record. Yeah, so he's in the
I'm in the system, bro. It's done.
He's been processed.
There you go.
Yeah, but not on a level where it totally destroys his life. Just enough to have his info. Yep. But yeah, that's true, which is part of the reason why I personally...
I'm not doing it because it's considered a novelty and not medically necessary. So yeah, it seems weird. I don't like it.
Yeah, and then if you're like pretty sure in your ancestry, then why would you bother? If you know like, oh, I'm Danish, then why bother? But you never know. You may be like, oh, 7% Sub-Saharan African.
That's dope. Yeah, I want to know where. I want to know how I tan so well.
Yeah, exactly. You got something going on in there. You're a tanner, man, and not in the full house sense of the word.
No, not at all.
not in a leather working way either.
No,
actually, kind of, because I go in the sun for a couple days and my skin looks like leather.
It looks like leather.
I go golden brown. It is beautiful.
Maybe you got some of that Ethiopia. Maybe you're part of the original tribe.
Ethiopia.
Maybe you can get us into that temple. That's actually what would make for a great like national treasure style movie. You break it into that temple to look for the ten commandments. I'd be like, oh shit, they're real.
It's
the Ark of the Covenant. Well, not Ten Commandments.
Inside that room, it's a 1950s Pepsi can just sitting on a pedestal.
Oh man, the gods must be crazy.
Yep,
there you go. Movie reference. Good job, Drew.
Bringing it back. That's the way to do it. It is a movie podcast.
I forget that often. I love talking about so many other things. It's a Chris Crespo radio show. In case he missed the intro,
listen to his shit.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you. Shout out to Trey from Swervy Jones for coming up with that, guys. Let's go ahead and get started with the good old streaming pick of the week, which means I hit this button right here. Ryan, if you reach inside that box, shake it up, reach inside.
Welcome to Pick of the Week. Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Cinema Crespo Diesel Streaming.
Guys, we do this every week, the streaming pick of the week. We let you know what is out there that you can watch. There's so many options sometimes, and Drew also double checks to see what else it is available. But Ryan, go ahead, let everyone know what is this week's streaming pick of the week.
This is on Amazon Prime, and it's Free Fire.
Oh, shit. We were talking about this, Drew, a little bit in our just-released Best of Bonus episode. On Amazon, you say?
Yeah, it's the only Amazon
thing,
Prime.
It's the only thing it's streaming on. You can rent it or buy it on just about any service, though.
All right, guys. I would say worth renting, Drew, right?
Oh, at definitely. Least.
What's a rental? Like $4.99 is a electronic rental?
I've never done it. I don't know.
I'm not one for a la carte. I either want to own it or I want it to be on one of my streaming
I'm trying
services,
to think. Like, back in the day when I used to do, like, getting it on the TV on the cable from the cable service, I think it was about $5 for the rental for 24 hours.
It was like $4 on the cable. Yeah, but now...
Oh, here we go. So this is $4.99.
$5.
Or $3.99 through Google Play or Apple. $4.99 everywhere else.
$3.99. Interesting. So different. All right. So different costs. Redbox. I'm sure you can find out Redbox for a buck and change if you want to pop a disc into, you know, actually get that physical media. I bought my first DVD in like 2 years.
Totally worth it.
Blade Runner 2049.
I've just only so spent gorgeous. $80 at a Redbox for not returning something on time somehow. And
wow. $80.
I got three movies and I didn't return them in time and they're like, we just charge you. But I'd already returned the movies. No refund of that. Just still $80 and no movies.
So you just donated your movies back to them?
I will burn down every Redbox I see.
That sucks. Well, they're not going to last much longer anyway. All the streaming stuff is taking them all down. When Disney debuts their streaming service in a couple years, forget about it.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't Disney own Hulu? Isn't that their thing, too?
No, it's the others. Viacom. Owns Hulu or has a big part of it. Disney just bought out the streaming platform that does MLB Live. So there's like an MLB.TV streaming thing that you can subscribe to. Disney, a year ago, purchased the controlling interest in that company. And then shortly after that, they announced we're doing our own streaming service that'll be available 2019, I think. Good. And I think they already maybe even announced a price point of like $6 or $8 a month, something like that, to compete with everyone else. And then they already own that's part of the reason why they bought Fox. because they need all that stuff to put on a streaming platform somewhere. Oh man, it's, they own everything.
That's why they're anti-net neutrality.
Or pro-net neutrality?
Pro.
They are pro-net, yes, yeah. Exactly, because they don't want to have to pay more for all the shit that they're going to have to put out there. Which benefits us, because we don't want to pay more either. Free Fire, Ben Wheatley. We saw this Drew out at the Florida Film Festival.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yeah.
And a lot of fun. Great cast. Brie Larson, who's Captain Marvel now, come up soon for Marvel. Armie Hammer, the once and never again Lone Ranger.
Largest nuts in Hollywood.
Apparently. I don't know about the largest nuts, but it's so big they had a CG out of a movie. That happened. That actually happened.
That actually happened.
What movie was that?
This movie, Call Me By Your Name, which is playing now, actually, here in town, and nominated for Best Picture. It's an adaptation of a novel about a gay romance between a younger gentleman and an older guy, right? Armie Hammer plays the older guy, and it's set in the 50s or 60s, so he's wearing clothing of the time, which is like very short shorts. And apparently the shorts were so short and his balls were so voluminous that there were shots of him like bending over and his nuts like flopped out. And they had to CG his balls out of this movie, which is already supposed to be a very sexy movie. And then they're like, the balls are distracting. We must CG the balls. It's an Italian director. We must CG the balls out. But I'm sure the director, he probably has like, he copied the footage. And send it to my trailer.
So yeah, that really happened in real life.
Right, it was reported in media as a factoid. Balls CG'd out. Too big.
So why would they?
Balls too big, pants too small.
Release that at all. If I was that dude, I'd be so mad.
Well, now we're talking about the movie. Go see, call me. Now some people are interested. Men and women alike. Oh, Armie Hammer's balls. Okay. Yeah. He's a traditionally handsome man. You know,
huge nuts.
He's 6'4", old school charms, good looks, and apparently huge balls. Some people like them big old balls.
Give him the old Armie Hammer.
Give him the hammer. That big old Armie. Drew. Ooh. Free Fire.
Chris.
People should watch it.
Oh, definitely, 100%.
Fun movie, action-packed. It's about
It's a bunch of people in a warehouse trying to kill each other.
It's a two-hour gunfight.
No.
It's a gun deal that goes wrong in a warehouse set in the 70s. I think arbitrarily, just so there's no cell phones, and so everyone can have cool clothing.
Yeah.
It's set in a warehouse.
It could have been any time after the making of a gun.
Yes, anytime after the making of a gun, but any time before the invention of cell phones, they could have set this movie. They chose the 70s, fun time period. A gun deal goes wrong in a warehouse, and the whole movie is just a shootout between two groups of people inside a warehouse. That's the whole thing. And it's fun. It's well made. It's good times.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Armie Hammer, smokes a joint in the middle of a gunfight.
Yeah.
It
does.
It affects his aim.
Mm-hmm. Charlton Copley wears cardboard armor.
Charlton Copley is ridiculous in this movie. He's doing this I'm over the top Charlton thing, which is a lot of fun.
He's got cardboard armor, Chris.
He has that one point cardboard armor.
It's protection from infection.
Yes. It's good. Free Fire is good. People watch Free Fire. It's a fun movie.
I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, it's great.
It's definitely worth
wearing cardboard armor in a gunfight.
I'm only going to be looking at the dude's balls the whole time, though.
In this movie, he's wearing pants. They never had to. You may see like bulging in the pants area, but no, that's a different movie where they had to CG the balls out. This one, he's chilling. He's fine. Don't worry about balls in this one. It's more of a violent sort of
thing. Yeah, but it's going to be like a pink elephant, man. Tell you not to think about pink balls.
The whole time, anytime I see Colin Farrell in a movie now, apparently, I'm not sure which movie it is, but he did a movie where he was full frontal nude. This is like 2004. He did a movie where he was full frontal nude, and they had to cut out his nudity. And during the test screening, all the audience, the note cards came back.
His dick's too big.
All of them commented, not that it was too big. They were just like, oh my God, look at that dick. And it's like, we got to cut this dick out of this movie. It's distracting everyone from the movie. And then it's just like, now when I see Colin Farrell, I'm like, why? Why? You got it all. And same thing with John Hamm. Ron pointed out to us in the Vox Populi that he's walking around with this big old
package,
trouser monster.
I've heard that about John Hamm.
And then
we're like, what? And then he showed us pictures from the internet that proves it, and we're just like
paparazzi photos of like close up photos.
Yeah,
of
and his, it's just like wow, yeah, it's a fucking monster in his pants.
John Hamm's one of those dudes that seems to have it all, but like he seems like a cool dude, so I'll give him a pass. Colin Farrell could go fuck himself. I don't know why. I can't tell you why, but it's just
younger Colin Farrell for sure had issues. He's mellowed out now that he's like his 40s.
Ever since In Bruges, pretty much.
Well, because he's gotten older. Yeah. He may have gotten into like a more significant role. He's just gotten older. John Hamm's always seemed cool.
Yeah.
Oh. It's because he has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I think that's why. And that's another thing, too. He's like a good looking dude, good actor, and he got a sense of humor, and he got a big old dick. Come on. Leave something for the rest of us. The rest of us troll people out here trying to just get by in life. It's not fair. That's how you know there's not a God, because it's just not fair. There's another one who's like, oh, Michael Fassbender, but he shows it in Shame.
The Fassbender.
The Fassbender. God damn it. Guys, he's taking a, they show him in the movie taking a piss from behind, and you see the tip of his dick. From behind.
Wow.
God damn it. Drew.
Chris.
Enough talk about, enough objectification of men. This show is about uplifting men and men's rights. Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake, but I'm also about men's rights.
No, where'd you get that title from?
I bestowed it upon myself.
He gave it to himself.
I'm just saying, you know, there needs to be more war for social justice.
Mm-hmm.
That was going on. It's a war, apparently. It's a
war for social justice?
War for. That's my favorite Planet of the Apes movie. War for.
But it's not the fourth one.
It's the second one. Guys. Wrong button. Let's talk about box office. Let's talk about that box office recap, the numbers, the money, the dollars. From the sky in slow motion.
So much gold.
Exactly. Here we go. Drew, where are we starting that top five, buddy?
Number five, actually.
Oh, right. Here we go. Number five.
Starts The Post.
The Post.
Made $8.85 million, total of 58.
Steven Spielberg's The Post about the Pentagon, publishing of the Pentagon Papers, the Vietnam study, Robert McNamara, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about this already. People, go back and listen to that.
It's good. It's Spielberg.
It's great. Here we go. Move on.
Number four, The Greatest Showman.
Here we go.
Made an additional $9.5 million, total of 126.
Not bad at all for a musical about a monster, one of history's greatest monsters, P.T. Barnum.
Mm-hmm.
But a movie in which all those bad stuff's taken away. And he's just a fun-loving guy who wants to sing and dance for the people. And it's like, look at these freaks. They're people animals. Just like us.
Animals, freaks. Yeah. Look, it's fun.
Animals, look, we zapped it with the cattle prod to make it stand for you. Isn't that wonderful?
I don't think they showed that part.
No.
They don't show the elephant anal douching before that either?
No.
Okay, because that was a thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they had to evacuate the bowels of these elephants, because if they stand up, they would just shit everywhere.
There we go. More circus horrors. I didn't know about that.
I'm anti-circus. I dated a hippie once, and she convinced me with enough facts, and I was like, no circus for me.
We all should be anti-circus. I've never really beat the drum for animal rights for whatever reason. Yes, you got it. There's only so many hills that you can fight on at
any one time. Yeah, I'm not like an animal rights activist, but like, show me enough facts, I'm like, all right, fuck.
And I feel like a circus is a pretty easy stance to take, where it's like, you know, these things are, it's old school, it's from a different time. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. The Big Apple Circus was a thing in New York. I think it's still a thing in New York
City. They always just smell like shit. That's the problem, too. Like,
the manure smell.
Yeah. See, I'm used to the circus. They used to come to town every year. They used to winter in Sarasota.
The Ringling Brothers. Yeah. You grew up in Sarasota.
John Ringling.
That was just a part of life
for
you.
Yeah.
Big Apple Circus, I went there a bunch of years. They do it every year in Manhattan around Christmas time, and it was just a family tradition to go to the circus. And when you're a kid, that's a cool deal.
Yeah.
But then when you're older and you realize what they're doing, man, this is a bunch of bullshit.
I went to my 18th birthday at Circus Circus in Altamont, which is a strip club.
Also
smells like shit.
Not there anymore, man.
Not there. Now it's a park. They tore down, built a park.
Yeah, now it's a park. I was gonna say it's a parking lot. You went to Circus. The Club Wana was right up the road, man.
Yeah, I used to live behind Circus and Club Wana, and as a kid, I didn't know what they were, and they looked like the funnest place ever.
All the neon. Yeah, it's called Circus. Yeah, it looks like a good time.
It probably was at one point in time.
In the '80s, Circus. I bet it was great.
In the '80s, was probably awesome. Yeah. Just like the booby trap. I did go to Club Wana. Because it was 18 and up.
Yeah.
And they did Macbeth in the Buff, which was actually featured in the HBO Real Sex episode. And I found out afterwards, after I saw the Macbeth thing, I was like, this is so stupid. And then I saw the Real Sex. I was like, oh, that looks cool. And then I went back to the club. I was like, this sucks.
Oh. the acting on that must just be hilariously bad.
It was hilariously bad. Double, boil, treble. Yeah, it was like, oh my God. This is
at least they're trying.
Nice bodies up there. And then at one point during that, because it's not just Macbeth, it's also other scenes that they come up with that are really cheesy.
Improv up there. Bunch of strippers guess ending.
Yeah, it's like, I need a place. It's like, you're a pussy. All right, my pussy. Okay, I need a
pussy. Gynecologist. Yeah, okay.
All right, I see where this is going. One girl came out, and I don't know if I told this story in a podcast before, but if not, if I did, I'm sorry. A girl came out there and did a dance to Metallica's Battery or Master of Puppets, something really long.
What?
Like a 6-minute song. Yes, a Metallica song. And she's out there with the snake. And at one point, she's like dancing around with the snake. And then, thank God, she puts the snake down for this big move where she then, she's on the stage right near the stairs where you walk up the stairs, get onto the stage. And she starts like spinning. She's just doing like 360 spinning. I guess she's out of moves at this point. Mm. And she's swirling in circles really fast. And she's wearing heels right at the top of the stairs to see where this is going. Oh, yep. Stumble, fall, boom.
Down the stairs.
Falls down the stairs. A bunch of dudes, it's like a Friday night, so places packed. Dudes like stand up halfway to help her up. Then realize, like, oh shit, not allowed to touch the strippers. then they're like, they're half standing, and then no one touches the girl. So she has to like kind of help herself up very slowly. She gets back up the stairs, and then she's like kind of holding her head like she hurt herself. And then she goes back to spinning.
She's got to finish.
That's the truth.
She slowly, completes the spins and then goes back to dancing. And then
what happened to the snake?
I think the snake was just like on the stage the whole time. Oh. Like she put it down, thank God.
Starts like eating her leg. It's a boa constrictor.
It was a big fucking snake too, man.
I'm really surprised you didn't head for the hills the second you saw the snake.
I was pretty far away. I was not.
I don't like snakes either.
I'm not a snake fan, so I didn't find it sexy. And then the tumble down the stairs just made it memorable. So shout outs to that lady. I'm sure she's listening.
Number three this week.
Number three. Shout outs to Clover. Clover.
Number three is Hostiles.
Kansas, waiting on the wings. Kansas, you're up next.
$10.2 million, total of 12.
Which one?
Hostiles.
Oh, shit, Hostiles.
The movie we saw.
This is the movie we saw. Christian Bale's got a big old mustache. And
that huge,
and
awesome
hatred
mustache
for Cheyenne Indians.
Well, in the beginning.
In the beginning, yes. It's the old Sins of the Nation type of movie.
Yep.
It's set in the 1890s, early 1890s. And the American army is still doing battle with the natives of the land from whom they just want their land back, man. That's all. We took their land.
They just want a place to live.
Just want a place to
live. Fuck that shit. It's ours.
And these people came in and killed them and slaughtered them. So the whole movie is like, who are the Hossos? Who are the real monsters? And it's really, you know, violence begets violence. The white people killing the Indians, women and children. So they're killing the women and children back. And but then, like, the Comanches are worst of all. They're rattlesnake people, you know, as the Cheyenne chief explains. The politics of the movie is interesting.
Christian Bale was awesome.
Christian Bale's fantastic as the army captain.
Yeah, so intense.
Very intense, especially
at the end.
Yes, the whole time. The whole time is very intense. He's doing his Christian Bale intense thing.
Yeah, it works.
Big old push broom mustache. He's got a Ned Flanders going. That's impressive. Check out pictures of Christian Bale to see what what he was doing. Made me be like, could I grow a mustache that thick? I don't think I can. I don't think my mustache grows that thick. I've gotten to a point where it starts getting over my lip. I'm like, oh, it's so annoying. And
I eat it a lot.
Yes, exactly.
I got a mustache wax from Amazon.
Look at that thing.
That's a beautiful mustache. That's a fucking mustache.
That thing is ridiculous that he can even grow that. He's a captain who is tasked with the duty of taking these Indian prisoners, these Native American prisoners that he captured and who have slaughtered people and killed like his fellow soldiers. He has to take them back to their home land of Montana, Valley of the Bears. Mm-hmm. So it's a road movie, and so that this old Indian chief can die because he has cancer. And it's like by decree of the president, it's become a big public relations thing. It's even in the newspapers. So it's like, you're the best one. You got to do it, Christian Bale. It's like, he killed my friends. It's like, you still got to do it. It's like, oh, damn it. All right, I'll do it. And then along the way, he's like, oh, he's not so bad. Mm-hmm. It's the type of, oh, I guess, you know, they're people just like us.
Hey, they're people. He's a person.
Also, along the way, they find Rosamund Pike, who the movie starts with her.
She also has to deal with that same bullshit.
Yeah, the movie begins with her family being slaughtered. The first 2 minutes of the movie opens with women and children being a father and children. And she survives.
Including baby.
Oof. This movie is not. It's many things. Fun is not one of them.
Well, it depends on what your definition of fun is.
Not watching heavy violence. And then people grieving.
Hardcore.
There's like hardcore scenes of people like, we're going to process grief
lots of grief processing.
There's a lot of crying in this movie. By everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone cries at some point.
I mean,
if they don't die.
People, there's lots of death, murder, and suicide.
Lots of death, murder, suicide, and crying and grief.
Uh-huh.
And big wide shots of vistas and
mountains. Yeah, some of it was like, ooh, Christian Bale walking through a field.
It's a very well-made Western, very heavy one, and I would say if it's their type of movie, it's definitely worth checking out. It's worth watching.
No, if you're a fan of Westerns, this should definitely... This will be in your echelon of the tops, I think.
And the thing is, they only make Westerns once every 2 years. The last one was Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight.
Exactly.
Right before that was what? There was The Homesman.
Yeah, for a little while.
Hey, if you like The Hostel Crew, you need to watch The Homesman, man. It's practically the same movie, except Homesman's got Tommy Lee Jones burning down buildings.
They did an unnecessary remake of, what is it, Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, they did. It was awful.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And it was unnecessary. Uh-huh. I don't think it was awful. It just wasn't.
It wasn't that good.
It looks so cheesy the whole time. That town was one fucking street.
It's the old,
it was like that cheesy old west looking street. Yeah. So it didn't even look like an old west town. It was just like, it bothered me the whole time.
I was actually impressed by the design. So they show about like a fort town or whatever, but like the way the buildings were, like, it's not your necessarily typical old west looking town. Like Back to the Future 3, where it's like it's a movie set in construction. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's Deadwood is like the last time I feel like they got
a real town.
Yeah, where it's like everything was dirty and muck and built on top of each other. Yeah.
Hell on Wheels. Did you ever see that on AMC?
Yeah, I never watched that.
That show is great. Is that not back on?
I stopped watching. I watched like two seasons and then stopped and watched another two seasons and then stopped.
I think it may be on Netflix.
I only got through the first two seasons, to be fair. Yeah. But great.
The first couple seasons were great. After a while, it kind of loses it.
That was about building the railroads.
Yes.
There was some building the railroads. And fight,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Anything with Mormons are the bad guys. Very interesting.
That is an interesting choice. You're really making this choice. You thought about this for a while. The Mormons are the bad guys.
Well, they did some awful things, just like everybody.
What about the, what was that one, with Bill Paxton?
Oh, Big Love?
Big Love. Oh,
Big Love.
Yeah. I was going to say Big Six.
Those were good Mormons.
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6, Magnificent 7, all about Mormons. We get it.
The Big Six with Kumail Nanjiani.
People love The Big Six. I still need to get around and watch. That one's on. All right, then we should be good to go, guys. We had a little bit of a weird... People are going to hear a weird pause in there. Hey, you know what?
Nobody cares, Chris.
It wouldn't be a poke in the bear month without some shenanigans here with recording things. I listen to this.
Yeah, I feel like I brought all my orb with me and just destroying all your equipment.
Bad recording orb. No, we're good at that on our own, actually, right, Drew? We are experienced at the technical difficulties here.
We record in a Johnny's Other Side back room where people just interrupt us to go to the bathroom all the time. Mm-hmm. So this is already way more professional than I'm used to.
That is a lightly trafficked back room, though. I've been there. I was like, what is this? What's this room back here? Yeah. Johnny's Other Side. It's a cool place. Check it out. If it's going down with Poking the Bear.
It's going down
at Johnny's.
Number two this week.
Go see Hostels. Number two.
Jumanji.
Jumanji making a ton of money. Yes.
An additional $16.4 million. Total of $338.
That's an insane amount of money that it's making.
Keep rolling.
It's stupid. Simon just went and saw Simon Time Trivia. Went and saw it on Friday, I think. He said it was great.
Yeah,
he enjoyed it quite a bit. He went in as a skeptic too.
Yeah,
I love anything with a rock. I'm just like a stupid rock fanboy.
Me too.
It sucks.
I'm a huge fan.
You should watch Southland Tales and then tell me that
he's fine in Southland. That's just a batshit movie. He's even not bad in Be Cool, which is a terrible film.
What's the movie that's the remake where he carries around a 2x4 and he's like trying to fix a small town?
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
That actually wasn't bad.
So ridiculous.
He just walks around with a big stick and beats the shit out of people.
Johnny Knoxville's in it, right? Yeah. He has a nice stretch of like really small little movies like that. Faster.
The Rundown.
So good.
The Rundown is the most amazing movie.
Sean William Scott in it. Yeah.
Yes. And at one
Christopher
point,
Walken.
Little Lightning, Little Thunder.
It was also The Rundown was supposed to be that the handoff of Schwarzenegger to The Rock as you're the next action star.
It never happened.
It happened later than it was supposed to. But he was like, he walks past Arnold Schwarzenegger in the club, and Arnold's like, have fun. As in, like, you are the next star. I hope for you. Good for you, Johnson. And then he's like, oh, but I'm also going to make more Terminator movies, by the way. I'm not done with this whole thing. I'm just going to be Governator for a few years. I love The Rock. I'm a big fan. So good for Jumanji. Good for them. What's number one?
Maze Runner: colon, The Death Cure.
Oh shit! Death Cure.
Weekend gross $23.5 million.
That's a Death Cure horn. If you find a Death Cure, you hit the horn, and you're like, I found it.
You found it.
I found it. Oh shit! Death Cure. Dylan O'Brien himself finding the Death Cure. He got run over by a car making this movie. They had to shut down production. Went to the hospital. He came back. They finished it. Released it. Number one. Good for them. I feel like if you're gonna get run over by a car,
He should at least get the number one movie.
He should at least have the number one movie for a
weekend. I was like, did he die?
No, no, he lived. He lived through it, but it was apparently pretty bad. They shut down production. They're like, are you going to be able to finish these movies? But he came back. He did it. He also made another movie, that American Assassin, that came out not too long ago with Michael Keaton. Remember that one, Drew, that no one saw?
Yep.
So there you go, Death Cure. I've saw the first two Maze Runners.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, is that wild? There's three of them now.
Scorch Trial.
The Scorch. Welcome to the Scorch.
Oh, you know what? I did see that.
Yeah, see? That's exactly... See,
the first one wasn't bad. If as like a standalone movie, you know, all the kids stuck in the maze, blah, blah, blah.
Gotta get out of the maze.
Yeah. That was it was a cool idea.
It's all just the same movie, which is all just the same anime. It's like all some kid who like doesn't know his powers inside.
The chosen and becomes, one.
Doesn't want to be the leader, doesn't know where they are. At
dystopian
all
future
like,
of some sort. Nuts. Everyone split up into groups. Mm-hmm. You are House Abdication. Mm-hmm. You are the Maze Runners. You are District 12. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone split up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's just writing you are the same YA novel.
Yes, over they are. And over it's again. Amazing. It's like, and they're getting away with it.
You are Divergent.
You are Divergent. You are the Divergent Wizard. In these Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And House Abdication. I just love saying abdication.
If the movies were good, like I enjoy a basic, like I like a Marvel movie. You know what you're getting. It's the same story fucking over and over. They do it well.
Yeah.
Maze Runner 2 is such a piece of hot garbage. I barely remember it.
Exactly. That's precisely my point. The first one was fine. Went into the second one, the Scorch. The only thing I remember is from the trailer, Lord Baylor saying over and over, welcome to the Scorch, the Scorch, the Scorch. It's a shitty movie. Scorch. See, it's fun to say. And the third one, Death Cure. I even saw the trailer. I was like, what's this even about? What's it about?
A Cure for Death.
That's so stupid looking. No, thank you. What's the Rotten Tomatoes score, Drew? Go ahead and look up the Rotten Tomatoes score. Well,
Paddington Bear, I'll tell you that.
Man, Paddington, I'm going to watch... The first one's on Netflix. I've been meaning to watch it. So I can go... Which also was well-reviewed. I'm going to watch it so I can see the second one. Apparently, everyone 44%. Loves it. 44% for Death Cure? Yeah. What's the little consensus there on the... it's like, it did this and that, but it's not so...
Maze Runner Death Cure may offer closure to fans of the franchise, but for anyone who hasn't already been hooked... This bloated final installment is best left unseen.
Bloated is a word used to describe corpses, so it's never good to describe a movie. All right, here we go. New movies in theaters. Last Flag Flying. I'm surprised they didn't get a bigger release. That's that. Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, and Lawrence Fishburne, I think. The three of them are going to a funeral for one of them. It's a very rah-rah America. I love our dead children, our dead soldier children type movie. Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman, movie about the creation of Wonder Woman, apparently was decent reviewed. Drew, no?
What?
You don't remember that one?
Huh.
Exactly. Tyler Perry's Boo 2! A Madea Halloween comes out, guys. Thank God, finally, it's out on DVD. We can all watch. Ryan, are you coming over?
Scary month of January.
In the scary month of January. It's the spookiest month of them all, obviously. Are you going to come over to our Boo 2 party? We're having a Boo 2 party.
Are you having a Boo 2 party?
Yeah, everyone's going to bring their a dish. It's a potluck. Everyone bring a dish based on their favorite Madea film.
Okay. Yes. Is it cosplay?
You can cosplay if you want. It's cool. You can, yes. I'm going as the suave devil character from Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Okay, I'm gonna go as every stereotypical white dude in those movies.
So Larry the Cable Guy in Madea Christmas, pretty much.
Oh, what was the one? I'm gonna be the white guy from Madea Christmas because I want to accidentally dose myself on LSD.
The other white guy? You'll be the other white guy. You'll be the worst stereotypical white guy.
I'll be Cyclops. It was Cyclops.
That's right, it was
Cyclops.
Cyclops
was tripping balls the whole time.
It was so weird.
Very strange.
Tyler Perry thinks that's funny.
Yeah.
All right, what's in theaters?
In theaters, Winchester.
Winchester. Winchester.
Is that about the house?
Yep. Helen Mirren, old lady, haunted house.
Yeah. Jason Clarke.
Yep.
Australian. You know who directed this?
Who?
The Spierig Brothers. The Spierig Brothers directed this movie called Undead, an Australian zombie movie.
Oh,
in the
really?
Initial zombie craze of like 2003, 2004.
And they did this. Weird.
They also did Predestination. What, that weird
the prequel to Final
movie.
Destination
that would be sort of that would have been funny
anyway.
What's the other one they did? Ethan Hawke again.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire movie.
Daybreakers.
Is that the one where they're in Alaska?
No.
It's
30 Days of Night.
That's 30 Days of Night.
I like that movie.
That's based on a comic book actually.
And not Ethan Hawke, Josh Hartnett.
Yes.
The Ethan Hawke 1.75. Daybreakers is... They're vampires, but they can They have like some medicine.
Yeah.
Some of them can be out during the day.
They have medicine.
Willem Dafoe's in it. And they gave him no makeup to look like a vampire. It's pretty fantastic. Yeah. They're like, you just look like a vampire. This is great.
Yeah.
They make... All right, Undead's a pretty great movie for a zombie movie, especially a low-budget one. All their other movies are, like, good. Not great. Not bad. But, eh. Mm. So, we'll see here with Winchester, which is a fun idea.
Is it about the Winchester house?
It's about the Winchester house. Okay. So, which is, they kept it building over and over, or kept adding to it.
To house the souls of the people killed with the rifles.
The most haunted house ever. Sure, it sounds fun. Sounds very anti-gun.
I've always wanted to go there. I've been fascinated with that house since I was like 15 and found out about it. Like, I always want to go there.
Where is it?
I think it's like somewhere in Virginia or some.
So it's here in America.
And it just has like stairs that go nowhere.
Yes.
Rooms that like are nothing.
If you watched it, they put out a couple of trailers. The first one really emphasizes the weirdness of the architecture of the house. And then the second one's more like, it's a scary movie.
It's just like an insane lady with an unlimited amount of money who just kept on building.
And she's like, what was in the new trailer? It's like 13
nails.
13 nails.
To lock them in. Apparently, she kept building the rooms to house the ghosts of the dead people that were being killed by the rifles.
Yeah.
They were haunting her.
It's an interesting idea to make a movie out of, and the fact that they got Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
So really the lady something. Is like maybe they had something there on paper that enticed her into it because she doesn't necessarily just do trash, you know. She's made some bad choices in her life, but she doesn't necessarily go out there and like make the cheap old horror films and shit like that. So it's not her bread and butter. She's just stepping out of her comfort zone at the age of how old is she? Like 102?
Something like that.
Man, I'd bang that 102-year-old. Just gotta balance out. We did all that male gay shit earlier. Now I gotta throw some female objectification in there. All right,
yeah. Objectify the octogenarian.
Hey, I ain't gonna be ageist about this shit. Good. All right, my social justice warrioring continues.
Yeah, be your cardboard armor.
Yes, it is cardboard armor. Exactly, because you can easily puncture it. All right, sure, that's in theaters. Mm-hmm. All right, well here you go, buddy. Time to tell us what to do with our lives.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, make sure you read the fine print. It'll save you a lot of hassle in the long run. Cogburn out.
Oh, Drew! What fine print did you not read?
Delivery statuses.
Oh, delivery times!
When things will be delivered. Oh, things Drew. Of that nature.
Oh, Drew.
No.
Crespo, Disco, let's take a break. This fellow named Max Richter did the score for that Hostiles movie that we were talking about with Christian Bale. Pretty good. Very ominous music. Only a couple tracks actually work for, like, as to listen to. A lot of it's just, like, atmosphere. Stuff like that. But this is the actual song. It's only a couple minutes long. So enjoy this one from the Hostiles soundtrack by Max Richter. And we'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys, good to go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Welcome to the
Three Broke. See where it comes off? It comes off right at the
already.
All right, guys, we are back. Second half of the show. Let's see if it records just fine. Knock on vodka.
Knock on vodka. I don't think you can knock on a liquid. You just get your hand wet.
If you freeze it first,
it's knocking on me.
Vodka doesn't freeze.
Ah, oh yeah. God damn it. I'm gonna try though.
Okay.
I'm gonna try.
You do that.
Guys, we're back. Second half. Drew, how's it going?
Chris.
Ryan, how you doing?
Hey.
Great. Perfect. Fantastic. We're here. Drew. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419. Some places on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Some places on the internet. Ryan, where can people find you first on the interwebs?
Oh, you can find me at Ryan Holmes Live most places.
Ryan Holmes Live. And where can they find you doing the stand-up comedy? Got anything booked?
Man, I just went through an entire run, and I just finished my last one for January, so I don't think I have anything booked until the end of February.
So if people wanted to see you, check out Ryan Holmes Live on places on the internet.
Yeah, or just Poking the Bear podcast and do that.
You can just listen to Poking the Bear podcast. You guys are pretty good at keeping people up to date on where you're at, where Charlie's at each weekend. Tim's at the Bull and Bush every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday he's at the Bull and Bush, whether he wants to be there or not.
Yeah. Apparently that's the way it is. I think he finally made that change to 9:30, which we actually talked about it on this show. Mm-hmm. He said he was going to do it, and I think he did. So, people, you can go see me do trivia on Wednesday at Oblivion Tap Room at 7:30. It ends at 9, then right down the road there's Milk District, and go to see Tim at the Bull and Bush. Where are you doing trivia?
Oh, man, I'm starting Hammered Lamb this Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And then Friendly Confines on Aloma on Wednesday, and King Smokehouse on Thursday in Oviedo.
So, all right, Tuesday, let's run through those. Hammered Lamb, really?
Hammered Lamb, they're bringing it back. They haven't done trivia in a while. They used to have a guy who like would do it for free for like years. Yeah, he was just a guy who worked at the Science Center and liked doing trivia. But eventually, like anything... You hate it after a while, you're not getting paid. And it takes 3 hours to write a trivia show. So he was like, nah, I'm done.
Especially for free. That's ridiculous.
I love Hammered Lamb, though. I'm happy to work there because that's a place to actually hang out. As opposed to, I love Friendly Confines and I love all the people there.
Yeah.
Not a place that I would personally hang out because I'm not a big sports guy.
There you go. You know? By the Hammer Lamb, you can see yourself spending time there. That helps a lot, for sure. Very cool. So if you're in the College Park area on Tuesdays, you can totally see... Damn. Ryan hosts
it's also their
trivia.
5-year anniversary. That's the first day I'm doing it. It's the week of their 5-year anniversary, doing a bunch of stuff.
That should be a crazy wild week. People, check that out. If your local yokel is on the east side of town, the Belle Isle part of town, if you're overstuck by the airport, if you can read the lettering on the side of the airplanes as they're landing at the airport, then you are in the perfect position to come see me do trivia at the Cork and Fork. Every Tuesday at 7. When's the Hammer Lamb? What time is that at?
I think it's actually 6:30 to 9:30. It's earlier.
Very cool. 6:30 in the College Park. Wednesdays, while I'm, like you mentioned, at a place where you actually like to be, Oblivion Tap Room is a cool place. So I'm there. That's the middle of town at 7:30. But if you are Oma, that's like the Winter Park area, right? Oviedo, Castleberry?
They call it Winter Park, but it's...
it's really Castleberry, Goldenrod-ish. Yeah. That's Aloma and 436, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's Castleberry, Orlando. If you're in that part of town, you can see him at Friendly Confines. That's the thing with the trivia. I don't mind plugging other people's trivias. Like, unless you're in the restaurant that's next door to me. Unless you're at the Thai restaurant next to the Cork and Fork, then we're going to have a problem. But with trivia, if you're not in someone's neighborhood, they're like, oh, good for you. That's cool. Let me know when you're in my neighborhood. Then I'll come see you do trivia. You got to be like a Simon Time level of charisma to get people to travel and see you.
Yeah, that guy's a machine. Yeah. I don't know. No one's ever traveled once to see me. No. And I agree with them. 100%.
I kind of feel the same way, too. Yeah. Like, my parents, I have a hard time getting them to come out from the Altamont Springs, the other side of town, to do trivia. But then at the same time, I feel that. It's just trivia.
Yeah.
And, you're just ordering French fries. You don't got it. There's no
reason for you to eat in Broadway regularly, and I would never go see you do trivia there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Come on. I actually just shut down Broadway.
It's gone.
That Broadway is done. Dunzo. Does he do trivia at other Broadways? No, it's Tijuana Flats that he's doing the trivia at. Anyway, shout out to Simon Time and all the trivia people out there. And then Thursdays, you said at...
King's Smokehouse in Oviedo, which was Bonfires and is going to be again, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
That place has traded hands 4 times since I started working there.
Really?
And I currently, fun fact, have no idea who owns it right now.
Really?
And who runs it at all.
But
wow. I have no idea.
But you keep getting paid, though.
I keep getting paid.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. I just show up, and I just assume everybody's my boss at this point. And so I'm really polite. Oh, yeah, this is cool.
That's fantastic.
But I have no idea who runs it.
Where is that in Oviedo?
It is basically Redbug and Alafaya. So, like...
All right. Okay. Yeah. UCF crowd. Shout out
to UCF. No, it's enough outside of UCF that it's not the UCF people.
The Oviedo Mall folk.
It's all the way, like, if you take 434 until it ends into Alafaya.
Oh!
Like, that area.
Zombieland.
Yeah.
Okay, you're in Zombieland. All right. So, all the zombies come out there. The Kingsfish Bone House?
Kingsfish Bone House.
Kingsfish Bone House, Applebee's. Yeah, that's exactly where we're.
Guys,
Smoky King's Boathouse.
Smoky King's Boathouse. Bonehouse. I like a bonehouse sounds more fun. Guys, support your local trivia hosts.
Holy
please.
Shit, there was a sex club that was down the street from me that I had no idea for years, apparently, just got busted yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Goddamn.
The Bonehouse?
I can only hope it was called the Bonehouse. It was on 436, where it's not, where Cooter Browns is.
Cooter Browns?
Yeah.
That's another name for a sex house.
Yeah, but it's basically 436 and 434 is this, like, plaza, and this place had never had anything in it.
Yeah.
And it was next to a Cooter Brown's bar, which gets a decent amount of business, but this place was always like people looked like something was going on, but it was never open, never any sign. Turns out, sex club.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow, underground sex club happening right there in the plaza?
Yep. There you go.
And they got shut down?
They got shut the fuck down.
What a bummer you find out about these places after they get shut down.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I guess people would still go to the Woodshed if they want. That's an operation. You know about the Woodshed?
No. Ugh. I do know about Club Secret, though, but you're not supposed to talk about it.
What? Club Secret? We'll talk about that off mic. guys, I already talked about my trivia gigs. The show, Cinema Crespediso, on Facebook. Join the Facebook group and have fun with the Crespo Hundo. We're watching 100 new movies in 2018. Just keep track of them. Everyone who watches 100 movies in 2018, just new to you. Doesn't have to be a brand new movie. It has to be new to you. Everyone's going to get a shirt. You get a shirt. I survived the Crespo Hundo and as yet to be designed shirt. We'll figure that one out soon. We got time. December 31st is so far away. It'll never get here. Crespo Hundo, Hostels was my 11th. My 11th new movie of the year. So I'm doing pretty good. Not bad. I think I'm on track there. And cinemacrespediso at gmail.com. Email us. All right, guys. Where are we going to start with? Drew, what do you want to start with? I'll let you choose. Billy D. Right? Did we get an email from Billy D?
You tell me.
Did I send you one?
You have not sent me one. So I don't know. I don't know if we've received it, but I have yet to receive it.
Last time I was on the podcast, fellas, you fucked this one up too.
Really? Billy D wasn't here either last time?
No, Billy D last time.
Maybe you are the Billy D negator.
You're the Billy D kryptonite, apparently, because I think the Blasio's fingerman may have finally got him this time.
Before the wedding.
Before the wedding!
I figured they would have got him just after to make it, you know.
Twist the knife even more. Yeah. No, they got him before the wedding. Oh, what a bummer. We're sorry. What's her name?
Courtney.
She doesn't listen.
Her name's Courtney.
She doesn't listen. Does she listen? Probably not. She may be stuck listening when she's in the room with Bill, in which case, hey, Courtney.
Hey, Courtney.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me to your wedding.
I've never met.
Hi.
I've met her. She's fine.
You met her?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Met her twice. Three times now,
I think. Drew, are we going to get stuck at the singles table, or are they going to count us as a couple? They didn't invite us together. We got separate invites. Are we stuck at the singles table?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to the singles table.
So embarrassing to be at the singles table.
I've been at the singles table every time I've been to a wedding.
Yeah, but I haven't been to a wedding since I was in my 20s.
Yeah. Well, no, we were just at Sam's wedding.
That didn't count. There were no singles tables. People were still wherever.
There were no tables. I mean, it was...
There were tables. We had to carry them out ourselves onto the grass, into the backyard.
Yeah, you're right. We did.
It was a fun wedding. That was a really cool wedding. Bill is dead. So, let's do movie news. How about that?
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right. The most important segment in all of podcasting. The celebrity oh shit. You hear that?
Oh, it's time.
Oh. Interrupting the movie news. Intro to the movie news is the Jurassic Park versus the world, but we already talked about it. We already teased it. Ryan, what's up with the Biebs? I need the Justin Bieber update.
What is up with the Biebs? That's good. Biebs in the forefront of a fashion trend right now, which is, you might not know this, but the big trend for dudes right now?
Yeah.
The male skirt.
I did not know that. Yeah. No, male really.
Skirt.
Yeah.
Am I wearing
it? Is it a kilt?
No, it is essentially the same thing. I mean, it's a skirt, no plaid. Latest movie or latest music video, he's out. He's rocking the male skirt. Apparently, in the runways of Milan, the male skirt is coming at you.
Europe, of course, fashion forward Europe. Am I wearing shorts or jeans underneath, or is it like ladies just doing the tidy whities?
You could wear some leggings.
I would be a leggings kind of guy.
I'm unclear what you wear under it exactly. I don't think it's a hairy leg situation.
Precisely, yes.
No, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you find it?
Yeah.
And
if I were to shave my legs, then I have to shave my arms, and like so things would match.
Yeah, you can't be half and half.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I'd have to Hulk Hogan it, where you know Hulk Hogan can shave his body from head to toe in like 10 minutes.
I did not.
He can. He said so in his autobiography entitled,
I'm going to fuck your wife, brother.
I'm going to fuck your wife, brother, with a belly full of sushi. Shout out to Hulk Hogan.
That guy, oh man.
he's a
out of the Wrestling Hall of Fame, has a surf shop in town. Yeah, he has one in town here.
Yeah,
he has
one in town, yeah. Hogan, a bunch of memorabilia in there, apparently. You know how he feels about those BlizzPizz, though, brother. Those BlizzPizz, brother. You hear about that?
No.
When he went and talked to his son, Nick, when he was in prison, or jail, either or. And Visitation, they record those, and they released the conversation. And to not sound so racist, when they were talking about black people, they kept saying BlizzPizz.
Oh.
It's like, how's it going? They're all them BlizzPizz, brother. Very racist.
Are all jail conversations public record? Is that?
I think so. They're all recorded.
Yeah,
they are. So they may all be subject to discovery, Freedom of Information Act, etc.
I'm sure.
Et yeah. Be careful what you talk about when you're being in. Drew, I'm talking to you. Be careful
next time you're in jail. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes to see me.
All right, here we go. Oh, that's right. That's true. No one. I didn't.
No.
I was just. Well,
there's no point. I'll be out soon enough.
I was just like, yeah, just get out already. Come on. Who am I going to go to the movies with? Speaking of movies. This week's game, Drew, you're 3-1 this year in True Chicago versus the World. This week's game is called Name the Movie, and we're going to do it via a line of dialogue. I went to the AFI top 100 lines of dialogue. I'm going to tell you the line. You tell me the movie.
Okay. Are we going just back and forth?
Or? No. We have two groups of five, and since Drew won last week, he gets to go first. So, Drew, do you want Group A or Group B? Choose wisely.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to be very good at this. We're going to go with A.
He says that, but here we go. All right, Group A. Name the movie, Drew. Number one, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Goodfellas.
The Godfather.
You see?
Number two.
You see?
Effort to communicate.
Oh, God damn it.
This is a movie podcast.
I know.
And he's struggling with his face in his hands.
I'm really bad with,
quotes?
Yes. Movie quotes is my kryptonite.
All right, good to know.
You'd never make a good bro in college, though.
No.
No, I was an awful bro. It's all Anchorman.
All unfunny people do is quote movies, and it drives me insane.
It's either that or more cowbell.
I can't think of it.
What we've got here is a failure to communicate. Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman. Number three. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Full Metal Jacket.
Ooh, Apocalypse Now.
See?
Charlie Don't Surf. Charlie Don't Surf. Number four. After all, tomorrow is another day.
No idea? No.
Gone with the Wind. Number five. I'll have what she's having.
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally, yes.
That's the only one.
Oh, you ready?
Solidarity.
All right, Ryan, you just have to get more than one. You know the game. Number one. Yeah, you're going to get this. You're going to get this. Oh, Drew, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. You're going to need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
Correct. I said choose wisely. Number two. If you build it, he will come.
Oh! Damn baseball movie. It's not Angels in the Outfield. What the fuck? Okay, see, it's harder when it's you.
Yeah,
exactly. Dude, it's a pain. You're like, fuck. It's like, I know this. I've heard it a billion times. I can see the guy
Kevin
saying it.
Costner.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Baseball, Kevin Costner.
Air Bud.
Field of Dreams.
Air Bud 2 is the baseball one. Field of Dreams. Yes, they just vandalized the field. Number 3. We rob banks. I can't say the line before, because the line before is the name of the movie. We rob banks.
Air Bud.
Air Bud is correct.
Yes.
Bonnie and Clyde.
No.
Bonnie and Clyde. Number 4. You had me at hello.
Jerry Maguire.
That is correct. And number 5. There's no crying in baseball.
Oh. A League of Their Own.
Correct. 3 out of 5, Ryan. Well done. You are the winner.
Choose Wisely is correct.
Choose Wisely is correct.
Would have been close.
So, good job, Ryan. Well done. You win. Drew, you're now 3-2.
Field of Dreams.
I got trounced.
Field of Dreams. They just vandalized. Someone vandalized the Field of Dreams field.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that? But it's ghosts in that movie, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing?
Yeah. And then the ghost of his dad shows up at the end because his dad was a minor league ball player. Ugh. And then they play a game of catch. And then men around the country weep. They weep. I enjoyed the movie like crazy when I was a kid, but I was also a baseball fan. Yeah. Not just a kid, I loved baseball.
I liked movies about baseball that were like involving kids as the main character, but like were so ridiculous. Like your Angels in the Outfield, like your The Rocket,
Major League. No, not Major League. What was it called? Oh, what was the name of it?
My favorite one.
The Rookie.
The Rookie is the one with the kid with the broken arm.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of, not The Rocket. The Rocket was another Kevin Costner movie, I think, right?
The Rocket? No? Are you thinking of The Rocket?
Not Rocketeer. No.
My favorite one.
That guy could catch a home run ball.
Yeah, he could. Oh, Mike, that's cheating.
After get the helmet.
My favorite from that very specific genre that you're describing of baseball movies involving a ridiculous situation involving a kid protagonist, Little Big League, is one where the kid inherits the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, yeah.
And he runs the team to the point where he names himself manager, and he manages them on the road. I think Gary Busey is one of the players. No, that's the rookie. That's rookie D.
They're all blended together.
They do all blend together. No, this is the one with Jason Robards is the old man who dies. Any movie with Jason Robards is A-okay in my book. And what I love about Little Big League, spoiler alert for this 20-year-old movie, the movie ends with the Twins. They're in a playoff with the Seattle Mariners to see who gets to go to the World Series, and it's like it comes down to the end. It's like ninth inning, guy's at the plate, he hits it, it's going deep. Everyone's like, it's gonna be a home run. Ken Griffey Jr. jumps up and
snatches that shit,
catches it, prevents the home run. The Mariners win. The team that you're rooting for loses, and it's like, oh my god, the team we were cheering for lost. This is fantastic. It was, even at that time, I was like 12 years old. Even then, I knew this is some cool shit. Uh-huh. And then the team goes back to the clubhouse, and they're like, some old black guy comes out. It's like, they won't leave, Mr. Haywood. And he's like, who won't leave? Everybody. And then they walk back out to the field, and none of the fans have left. They're all still out there in the Superdome cheering for their team because they've had the improbable
season.
Oh,
are we still a multi-million-dollar franchise?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. You guys are still loyal to us?
Do we still go next year and try again?
All right.
What, you mean there's always next season?
There's
still
no stakes in this at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sports are ridiculous. But it brought so many people together. Also, they got like 15,000 extras, 20,000 extras to film a good chunk of that stadium, so you get like a nice wrapping shot. If you watch it logistically, this is pre... Let's just throw a bunch of CG people out there.
Like, I was watching Daddy's Home because it's on streaming on Hulu right now.
And it's a terrible film.
It's a terrible film, but they do a scene at a Lakers game.
Yeah.
With like an actual crowd. And the whole time I was like, how do they do this?
I will tell you exactly how they did it, Ryan. Okay. It's so funny. I remember a year before Daddy's Home came out, like on all the movie sites, here's footage of Will Ferrell hitting a Laker girl with a basketball. Yeah. And first off, that girl, a professional wrestler. It came out later, she's a professional wrestler. And then other people were like, look, the person handling the ball is Paul Scheer. He's a comedian. Is that Mark Wahlberg in the front row? Oh, they were filming for this movie that they're doing. So they just worked out with the organization at halftime. We're going to use your game as our backdrop.
Just because you'd have to do it so fast, because you can't do several takes at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. It was one. They did it in one take, and they did it at a halftime. They did the same thing with Rocky Balboa, the sixth one, the one where he's an old man coming out of retirement. They wanted to film in front of a real crowd their exhibition fight, so they found they worked out with like an actual match that was happening in Vegas, and they worked out time where we can come out ahead of time or between matches, and they filmed all their shit in front of a real crowd. So when Rocky comes out and the crowd really started chanting Rocky, Rocky, like the crowd really was into it real, and they kind of lucked out that way. Now, and that wasn't even that long ago. When was Balboa? 10 years ago,
maybe,
when they did Creed. They went out and filmed footage of a real crowd, and then they filmed the boxers, their entrances and everything on a studio with blue screen. And they blue screened everything in, and it looks like legit real, like they filmed in front of a real crowd. Yeah. So they've gotten to the point now where they can fake it. But up until Rocky Balboa, they were still teasing it. And then Daddy's Home, they did it. Yeah, dude. And you're right. It was like one take.
Yeah, I was watching. I was like, you'd have to get this done in one take.
They can't fuck it up. They fuck it up. All right, reset.
Because it's a real game that's going on.
Yeah. And there's like 15, 20,000 people that then get on Twitter and be like, oh, man, we watched. Just people fuck up the scene and have to redo it. But that's the thing. So it's a Lakers game. So when Mark Wahlberg is sitting on the sideline, no one's going to be like, oh, look, it's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, look, it's Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. Yeah, of course he's here. You know, genius of them, actually. It's funny you brought that up. You going to see Daddy's Home 2?
There's a second one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with John Lithgow.
It came out around Christmas. No, Thanksgiving.
No.
It's the dads of the dads. John Lithgow is Will Ferrell's dad.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson is Mark Wahlberg's dad. So he's like, oh, look, I'm a knuckle dragon primordial ooze.
Hey, Australian fucker. Santa.
Australian Santa's back. Oh, how's it going, Drew? As Australians. Oh, this hurts my throat this weekend. It's dry weather, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, oh, that's tasty, Drew. How you doing? So we're going to go on with the movie news, Drew. Australian Santa's going to take over for the rest of the show. What do you think about that?
I think it's an awful idea.
Ho, 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 Sheila. Just throw Sheila at the end of things. Good to you. Yeah. All right, Australian Santa, I'm out of here. Whee! There you go. See, that was his exit. I have one movie news story, and it's Drew.
This Week in Rape Culture.
Yeah, This Week in Rape Culture. Harvey Weinstein back in the news. He's being sued by a personal assistant.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I bet she's got a good case.
The new lawsuit filed just this past Thursday states that Sandeep Rahal, the name of the personal assistant, was put into, quote, a personal and severe sexually hostile work environment. During the time while she was employed by Harvey Weinstein, she says her boss often called her a cunt and a pussy. Weekly, she alleges, she was asked to take email dictation from Weinstein while he was naked. She also notes she was asked to, quote, stock caverject shots, which are used for erectile dysfunction, and clean up the semen on a couch in his office. All of these tasks led to severe emotional distress as well as anxiety, according to the lawsuit. Of course, Weinstein category denies these charges. Who do you believe, Drew? Weinstein didn't do the stuff or that he did?
He did.
Ryan?
100% this guy's a fucking creep ass.
Yeah.
So here's the problem with being a creep ass is everybody's going to come out of the woodwork no matter what. Yeah. And all their stories are credible. Yeah. So
unfortunately, they are going to be credible. So you're going to have to prove that he didn't ask this lady to take email dictation while sneaking.
Dude, if I worked for Harvey Weinstein, I'd be like, sexual harassment.
Yep. Me too. Yeah. I had to inject his boner medication into his balls. You know, it made me do it. Yeah.
There's a weird version of it. Like, you obviously can't sexually harass somebody, but a lot of times, and depending on the state you're in, bullying is not illegal in a workplace.
That's true.
So if you're calling somebody a cunt, necessarily, I don't know about California law, but if you're calling somebody a cunt, you're not necessarily saying something about their gender, because there's things you can't discriminate against, which is gender,
religion,
but sexual orientation isn't necessarily one of them.
No.
And if he's just saying you're just a cunt like every woman,
like you're being a bitch,
That's a little bit different than just calling somebody a cunt.
That's bullying. Because
if calling somebody a cunt was a fucking crime, every English person would be in jail. Yeah.
The English could not come to America. You wonderful cunt, how you doing? We'll be in a row. Well, there's no Billy D.
Nope.
That was our movie news. So let's do the Vox Populi and then wrap this thing up. So here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right. You see something, and then you let us know. Drew, take it away.
Chris, we got a bunch of emails from people listening to our best of. They've given us their best of.
Fantastic. That's right. We just put out our best of and worst of 2017, and we asked people, give us your top five best and your one worst. And please keep it short.
Oh, we've got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe? Gabe's our homie.
What up, show?
What up?
A few things. Number one.
A few things. I said keep it short.
No love for Split? Not even top 15?
Well, we mentioned.
How sway.
We talked about Split, though. We talked about it. Not top 15, but we talked about it.
Number two. Your list is incomplete without watching Coco.
Fair enough. I mentioned that I hadn't seen Coco. You know about Coco? The latest Pixar?
I know of it.
You know of it. For whatever reason.
I've heard great things.
That's a thing. Yeah. I've heard nothing but great things. Even my dad loves it because he has got one of them Cody boxes, so he steals movies all the time. He saw it. He loved it. He raved about it. It's like, Dad, you're raving about a Pixar movie. I need to get around to seeing it. I've just been... time!
I like a good Pixar movie, though. As an adult, I saw Finding Nemo in the theaters 3 times.
Yes, right? It was so good. It was so good.
They make enjoyable movies.
When Wall-E, I was like, I'm excited for this.
My heart broke for that little robot.
The sweet little robot just wants to be loved.
Three, Wally. I'm going to give my completely incomplete list without watching Shape of Water.
Ah, see, so your list is incomplete. Okay, fair enough. 2017 was Life. Drew, that was one of your favorites.
I just like the alien. I just like the ending.
Oh, you like the ending.
Cool alien design, cool zero-G setting, shallow characters, predictable ending.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate it, buddy.
I got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Top five, bottom one.
Let's hear it.
First, the worst, Justice League.
Oh, okay, yeah. Did you get around to seeing that one?
No.
Good.
I don't fuck with DC.
It's awful.
You know what? Wonder Woman's great, but that's a mantra that I cannot argue against. Mm-hmm. No. I do not fuck.
They make terrible movies.
They have been.
Yeah.
Their animated movies are good.
And
that's animated.
Their animated stuff is great, to be fair.
Yeah. Really good.
But their movies are just shit, and they throw out these like 15-minute long trailers every time. It's like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It's like, why? What are you guys doing? But they had a whole shakeup over there, so.
Now the best. Honorable mention, The Big Sick.
Okay.
Number five, mm-hmm. Get Out. 4, Mother.
Exclamation point.
3, Blade Runner 2049.
Number 3, okay.
2, The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's an exciting war film from Christopher Nolan.
That movie I'm never going to see because everybody's like, you got to see it in the IMAX, so I'm just never going to see it.
Yeah, you know what? You didn't see it on the biggest screen possible? Then yeah, you blew it, buddy.
Might as well either
do that or you take an iPhone and you strap it to your eyeglasses so it's like literally an inch away from your face.
I'll watch it in VR when it comes out.
Exactly.
No, that'd be too intense, actually. Bullets going right by your ears.
We also got another email from Scott.
Scott, cheating.
Hashtag the Quattro.
All right.
So I had the rare opportunity yesterday to watch 4 movies back to back to back to back to back on one ticket.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's a rare opportunity for people. That's like my Wednesday.
Well, if you're going to be picky about the movies you watch, then.
The Shape of Water, right into I, Tonya, right into Hostiles, right into The Post. Wow, it's actually 4 pretty good movies, probably.
All right, let's hear about them.
The times just synced up perfectly, and the best part, the movie that I most wanted to give my money to was indeed first in the lineup.
Okay.
It was serendipitous. Like I said, this is a rare occasion, but it's also a rather fucking grueling endeavor. I've only ever accomplished it once before, but I was ready to attempt it again.
All right.
Then my alarm went off at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Nope, still tired. Need a few more hours to sleep. Fuck that, 11 a.m. showing. Fuck. Hashtag the Quattro. Sorry, I'm weak and tired. So I woke up a few hours later, revised my plans, and still managed to hit the 2 movies that I wanted to see most. I could have done the 3rd, but again, weak, tired. The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water, here we go.
I was absolutely mesmerized by this film. I fell in love with the fairy tale story, its gorgeous styling, its sublime musical score, and the magnificent performances from its cast. As a cinematic experience, for me, it was a damn near perfection.
Ah.
Going in, Dunkirk was my number 1 on my best of 2017 list. The Shape of Water is a solid 1A.
Ah.
An old lady in a few rows in front of me applauded at the end of the movie, as I usual muttered, "You fucking idiot."
You idiot.
Then she followed up by yelling, "Now that was a damn good movie." I hereby apologize to you, sweet woman. God bless you.
That's funny.
Oh, and Michael Shannon might very well have uttered the greatest last words of all time. 4 stars.
4 stars. Michael Shannon, fantastic. Shape of Water. Ryan, you got to see that one. The lady falls in love with a fish man.
It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like a surreal movie?
No.
It's very real.
Adult fantasy. Yeah. Takes place in the 50s. Fairy tale. Adult fairy tales. Okay. I want to say. Yeah. It's quite good. Surprisingly well made.
And I, Tonya.
Considering the subject matter. I, Tonya, here we go.
As much as I enjoyed watching Winter Soldier and Harley Quinn beat the absolute hell out of each other for half the movie, Marvel-DC crossover potential.
What?
Ultimately, this just wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. Maybe if I had... If it had taken itself seriously, it might have had a chance, but instead this movie opts for a screwball mockumentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I understand, considering everyone involved in Tanya Harding's life was indeed, as one character says, a boob. The true story itself was a farce, so I get it, but I think a more told that don't have not even period-specific song playing throughout it, or at least one punctuating the end of a scene leading into the next. I honestly wonder which cost more, Margot Robbie's salary or the licensing fees for each and every one of those damn songs. It was ridiculous. 2.5 stars. I'll get to hostiles in the post eventually. Take care, guys.
So he didn't do the quattro.
Nope.
Oh, good thing we got that whole paragraph preamble about it then. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for the best ofs and your one worst. If you want to contribute to the best of worst of conversation, you still have time. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Is that it for the...
Nope, still got one email from Carmella.
What's up, Carmella?
I got top five, bottom one.
Oh, okay.
Gonna go start with the bottom one.
Bottom one?
Worst, Alien Covenant.
Oh.
This wasn't the worst movie of the year, but it was the most disappointing.
Most disappointing, yeah. That's
I'm a huge fan of the first two, and this sequel just didn't work on any level for me. Bad CGI, and just mostly a plot rehash of the other Alien movies.
Sorry, Ridley Scott.
Top five.
Number five.
The Florida Project.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is proof that you don't need a big budget to make a great movie, okay. And that dramas can be more intense and scarier than horror movies. Mm-hmm. Number four, Good Time,
yes.
Creative, fantastic, and loud in the best possible way with a great plot twist.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Logan.
Wolverine movie.
I'll always wonder why the Aronofsky Logan... Wonder what the Aronofsky Logan could have been.
Mm.
But this version manages to deliver in a huge way the Wolverine movie I always dreamed of. Number two, The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Ah,
this one completely caught me by surprise. Tense, beautifully shot, and maybe the most fucked up movie I watched from 2017. And number one, Blade Runner 2049.
Hey, there we go.
A perfect movie, great cinematography, story, soundtrack, and acting. It's very rare that a sequel can withstand all the buildup and still deliver.
I think so, too. Thanks, Carmelo. We appreciate it. Ryan, you got to get on that Blade Runner, man.
I got to check it out.
Seriously.
Yeah. From our previous conversations on the type of movies you like, the pacing of the movies.
Yeah, it's definitely a right down my alley type of movie.
I think it is.
Just, I don't go to the movies. I just don't.
Well, now it's out. It just came out on the Blu-rays, and it's available for streaming and rental in that kind of way. So it's definitely worth seeking out, I think, and watching.
Once it's on streaming, I'm good to go. My bottom movie... And I'm mad. I'm just virally mad at this movie for making me sit through it. It's Bright.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
I was disappointed as well.
Here's my problem with Bright.
Please do.
Which is, okay, a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
The idea is like orcs, elves, and fairies fucking live in modern times.
They're real.
LA.
Yeah. Yep.
They're segregated.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is interesting. I'm like, cool story idea. And it's just ruined by a guy dressed up as an orc who's just terrible. The plot, immediately, like, when the thing shows up, you're like, well, this is going to show up at the end.
Yeah, the whole thing with the wand.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it, they like, I think it's like scene four, they're like, well, only a Bright can touch a magic wand.
Oh, we know who's going to be
a Bright. And you're like, of course, like, Will Smith is goddamn Bright. Okay, yeah, cool.
We know this is going to happen.
It's not even a plot twist. And it's
because we've seen movies before.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And Joel Edgerton, who plays this orc partner, I usually like him.
He is terrible
in this
comic
movie.
He plays it very comically weird.
His eyes are always like, oh, I'm such a dummy. Oh, I just mean to be,
When it first started and you see this graffiti of like what elf graffiti would look like, I'm like, this sounds cool. This could be cool. If they would have gone into the backstory of everything like that, it would have been a great movie. Instead, it was me wasting 2 hours.
It does feel like a waste of a movie. But don't worry, you're going to get a sequel.
And Will Smith is just Will Smith. Like, cool Will Smith in that movie.
He seems pretty disinterested.
But he's too old to be cool Will Smith at this point.
No, he's just old Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is just an old man. And then there's...
He literally says, like, I'm 3 weeks away from retiring at one point or something.
He's Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. And at one point he says, Elf Lives Matter. And it's like, what are you... Is this supposed to mean something? What's going on? Are you trying to make a point about something because you're not...
Allegory.
It's one of those movies. I was like, I can't believe I wasted my time with this.
But it's a bummer because the potential is there.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And the bummer is they're making another one.
Yeah.
They don't even go into why the bad guys are bad or like really what's up with them at all.
They're just bad guys.
They're just fucking ninja elves.
Yeah,
like, and you're like, well, what's the deal? Like,
it's weird. It is weird. 100%. I agree with you there. I didn't even think about that one. Probably because it was a Netflix movie.
Yeah, you know?
I didn't even think about that one being one of my worst.
You guys are fancy. You guys got movie passes or what's up?
No.
No, I gotta get on that movie pass, man. And then they just shut down a bunch of AMC theaters. Movie Pass decided that These aren't going to work at like certain high traffic theaters anymore because they're getting their asses handed to them in those ticket costs, like $13-$14 tickets in New York and LA. They're losing their asses on it. So that like, now it doesn't work on these AMC theaters.
Yeah, that's their whole business model. It's supposed to be like a loss leader, like, and just eventually get enough people to sign up, but it just doesn't seem to be working.
And then
out,
so they can sell all the data, but yeah, they need all those other people to sign up.
It's like healthcare.
Yeah. It is. It's movie insurance, and they're on the losing end right now. All right. Let's wrap this thing up with the old lightning round.
Ooh. We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go, Ryan. I have 10 questions, and I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, what's new, pussycat?
Whoa.
Number two, that's the correct answer. Number two, is this how you do it?
That is not how you do it.
Number three, what's up with Las Vegas?
Lack of water infrastructure, shipping in all the water. Everybody there is just going to die broke and thirsty.
Number four, top three Eddie Murphy movies. Go.
Top three Eddie Murphy movies. Coming to America, Dr. Dolittle 2. Gotta go to the sequel. And Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yes, that's the correct answer as well. Number five. Would you rather be in a small plane crash or a warehouse fire?
A 100% small plane crash.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Number six. Is Dr. Phil a great doctor or the greatest doctor?
Well, being that those are the only two options there, Chris, I'm gonna go with the greatest doctor ever. Go.
Thanks, Dr. Phil. Number seven. Do you remember Craig Kilborn?
The original host of Talk Soup?
Was he Talk Soup?
Yeah, he was a host of Talk Soup, and he was in Old School? Or what was
he? He was in Old School, yes. The original host of a Daily Show, I remember. Number eight. Figure skating or cake frosting?
As I have recently gone to a cake festival, thanks to PFT Media, I've learned that there is a wonderful world of cake frosting that everybody there will get real mad if you make fun of them. So definitely cake frosting.
Take it very seriously, that cake frosting. Number nine, why is any of this happening?
Because God's not real, and it's all just a series of events that, like, you don't even have free will. It's all just mathematically destined to happen, whatever it's going to be, and we're all going to die in the Great Galactic Black Hole.
Oblivion.
That sounds, again, I think these are all correct answers. So finally, number 10, Chewbacca, Snuffleupagus, Cousin It. Who do you kick out of the sauna?
Oh, I feel like Cousin It is cool. You want to hang with Cousin It.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, like, he'll give you a lot of thumbs up and downs and wiggles. Snuffleupagus is going to take up a lot of room,
yes,
but knows where the good weed's at. Dude's chill as fuck.
He is always very chill. He sees his eyes.
You know what? Not Chewbacca. I don't want a spiky teeth, constantly yelling, possible moron to be in there the whole time. Just like, Chewbacca, you turn down. What the fuck does that mean? Everybody else can sort of talk.
There you go. So Chewbacca, out of the sauna.
Trick question. You know, Snuffleupagus is Big Bird's imaginary friend, so he doesn't take up any room in that sauna.
In this situation, he does. As I was thinking of the question, I appreciate the input, Drew. But at this point, what I need you to do...
Snuffleupagus isn't real?
No, he's Big Bird's imaginary friend.
He is Big Bird's imaginary friend.
Wait, so Big Bird is a schizophrenic, like, talking bird? No, around children?
No, he's an extremely powerful telepath whose imagination can be projected so that other people can see it.
Oh, so Snuffleupagus, maybe he's not really, just exists in the astral plane?
Correct.
Kind of situation?
It's a Doctor Strange type of thing. Right, uh-huh. Cool. So in this situation, yes, he is being projected into the sauna with you.
All right, you know, I like that. I want to hang out with an astral plane being.
There you go. So the original answer, Chewbacca, stands. Drew, don't try to fuck around with this green bag, pink polka dot bag. Ryan, which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
Oh, man. Normally I would say pink polka dot bag, but green is my favorite color.
There we go.
I've got to go with the green.
Let's break open that green bag, Drew.
Today you may get to go home with a 20-pack of balloons.
Balloons!
We've got a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles play, pack, grab, and go. It's got four crayons, 25 stickers, and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
Nice. Oh, shit.
We've got a 100-piece puzzle of a dude riding a horse.
That's a bucking Bronco, if I ever saw one.
We've got a magnet from The Princess Bride. Inconceivable!
Inconceivable!
Well, that wins it all right there.
It's Wallace Shawn right there.
We've got a Cinema Crespediso bootleg edition of The Adventures of Robin Hood and Behind Enemy Lines.
What? Gene Hackman. And a CD.
A heavy metal CD, I think. Stuck with Green. Dull, hey, Unconscious Man.
Look at that.
A bunch of stickers. And Koosh balls?
And a Koosh ball.
A Koosh ball.
Is that what they're called? With big koofy eyes.
Sorry to get Kooshlash.
Ryan, that bag is yours. Or we put the bag away and instead you take what we have in the box right over here.
Oh, man.
You know what's in the bag. You don't know what's in the box. It's up to you. Choose wisely, bag or box.
Is it going to be a human head?
Not this time.
Could be.
But one day.
All right. Well,
Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the box.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Box.
Reach in there. What do we got?
We got koozies. From Swervid Jones.
Oh, you got a Koozie prize pack.
And the Swervid Jones Show. Wow, they are way better than poking the bear.
They made a lot of koozies.
Yeah.
This should also be a Tom and Dan koozie.
One more in there.
Oh, a Tom and Dan koozie.
Is that
all right.
Is that a five pack?
That's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
that
pack.
That is a 100% koozie.
That is a shit ton of. One of, I think it's a Semantics co-branded koozie as well. One of them, the green ones, maybe. There we go.
So, Swervy Jones and Semantics.
Swervy Jones, Semantics,
hey, Sam.
Co-branded.
Hey, Trav.
Hey, Sam and Trav. You guys listening? Probably not. Guys, shout-outs to those shows. Ryan, now all your beers that you're not drinking can stay cold at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys. This is always fun.
That's a lot of fun. You're great guests, and we're looking forward to having you back. Next time, I'll book you before, Tim, and you can lead the next poke in the month. As opposed to...
No, you're right. You did it in the proper order.
You think so?
Yeah.
Alphabetical order, man. Alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Drew, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Read more books, starting with Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Just a random option.
Agreed.
Right there.
Oh,
Drew agrees. The movie looks wild. And what else I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Fuck the NFL. The NFL's trash. But support the players that want to kneel. Trump fucked all that up, man. You fucked up my NFL protest, yep. That idiot. I hate him, and I hate his supporters. If you support Donald Trump and you're still listening, why? Why? Why?
A PFT Media production.